opportunity to preach. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to just read one verse and then springboard into Genesis, where we were this morning. I'm going to talk about the faith of Isaac tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 20. All right. The Bible says, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Okay? So he blessed them. He blessed both of his sons by faith concerning things to come. Okay? Now look at Genesis 27, verse 33. I read that verse and I was like, wait a minute. Wait a second. There's a lot of drama that happened with that blessing. Chapter 27, we're just going to read this one verse. I think this verse kind of sums up why I think God chose Isaac's blessings of his son to show his faith. Verse 30, Genesis 27, verse 33, it says this, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Esau's just come in. Jacob just left. He stole Esau's blessing. Isaac had every intention to bless Esau. And Esau comes in. I'm here, Father. Time for my blessing. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Let's go to God in prayer and ask for his help. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the truths contained in it. Please help me, help us, Lord, to feed on it. Lord, I pray for this church family that this would bless them as much as it has blessed me. And Lord, please be with our pastor. And thank you, God, for who you are and all you do for us and have done. And for your precious son, Lord, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Much is said of the faith of Abraham and of Jacob. Abraham was known as the friend of God, and he was known for his faith. And Jacob was known as Israel, the prince of God. He was later named Israel. Of the three patriarchs, Isaac is probably spoken of the least. He does get kind of a bad rap. But a study of the life of Isaac and his faith is very necessary and profitable for God's children. Isaac shows us the benefits of a godly heritage, how it affected him, how to deal with hardship and hurt. He shows us the deep need for spiritual reflection and introspection. We see the dangers of loving something more than God and the spiritual blindness it can cause. I love seeing Isaac's quick correction of himself and God's wonderful providence and working in his life. All right. So I've got 3 points. I've got point one is Isaac's devotion. Point two is his dilemma. And point three is his deliverance. Okay. So point number one, we first see the effect of his godly home. If you turn to Genesis 22, just a little synopsis. I want to look at what made Isaac great. And you really do see elements of faith in his conversion all throughout his life, okay? In chapter 22, obviously, is the story of when Abraham was tried by God. He was told to go and offer up his son upon an altar. And you see the child Isaac respond to his father. His father lays the wood, and he lays the wood on his son, and he grabs the fire. He leaves his servants there. He tells his servants, "I am the lad. We'll go your honor and worship and return to you." And as they're walking, Isaac, he looks at the wood, and he looks at the fire, and he looks up at his father and says, "Where's the burnt offering?" And his father says, "God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt sacrifice." Okay, the child was intimately aware of the burnt sacrifice and the lessons behind it. Can you imagine the amount of training he had in the home of Abraham? We see his reverence for his father. He is bound and almost sacrificed. Obviously, Abraham would have to do some explaining to Isaac to help him understand all that just happened. But you see a son who is obedient to his father. You see a father who is obedient to God, and you see a son who is obedient to his father and loves his father dearly. If you could stress, if as you think about Isaac, if you could stress one character trait about Isaac, what comes to my mind is a man of devotion. He was a man of devotion, okay? You see his devotion to his father. Next, you see his devotion to his mother. In chapter 23 of Genesis, he loses his mother. And this reels him. It really throws him for a loop. To find solace, he would devote himself to God in prayer. He would go out into a field and he would meditate alone in the field. He would he was by the well Lehi Roy, the same well where Hagar, when she was cast out, and she met God, and she said, she named this well Lehi Roy, which means Thou God seest me. And where she went in her hardship, in her time of suffering, in her time of need, and how God met that need. Isaac is at the same well. You can see him hurting. You can see him asking the Lord to help him, to comfort him. Not until he meets Rebekah do we find him comforted and abiding in his mother's tent. All right? And the end of chapter 23 and chapter 24, he was devoted to his bride. Woman, Rebekah, who was barren. She was barren. The Bible says he loved her. What more could a wife ask for than for God's word to say of her husband that he loved his wife? This godly woman who loved God and the things of God had a husband that truly loved her and was comforted by her. All right? So in chapter 25, he prayed for her for 20 years to have a child. 20 years, their first 20 years of their marriage, she's barren and they're waiting. They're entreating God. They're asking God. They're praying unto God. They're begging God for children. Now, think about this. Abraham was told that through Isaac would come a mighty nation. And here he is, she's barren, and yet what does he do? He still prays. He still prays. Isn't that wonderful? A man of devotion. Year after year, he still prays. Even though he knows everything that happened with Abraham, even though he knows that he is the child of promise, he still prays. He never questioned. He trusted in the Lord to bring the child when the time was right. And when the day finally came, God blessed with not only one child, but two twins. These children also brought a special promise from God. The elder would serve the younger, they were told. In Genesis 25, we see his devotion and focus upon God in the midst of a crooked and perverse world where he shined as a light. There's a great famine. God appears to him twice in this chapter. He encourages him to stay in the land and not to go to Egypt. And unlike his father, Isaac obeys God. He stays in the land. He lives amongst the Philistines. If you're from England, you would say Philistines. From America, we say Philistines. Which, these people, they were not nice people, okay? This was a very violent and a fearful society to live amongst. Also in this chapter, you see Isaac's devotion to this same society around him. Isaac uses wisdom and courage in the face of fear and uncertainty around the Philistines. He and his wife use wisdom to live amongst him, and God's providence works to protect Isaac. And God shows Isaac his power, that he doesn't have to fear. God greatly blesses Isaac here, and he sows and reaps 100% of what he sowed, which is very rare. Okay, a good year, you'll reap 60-fold. Okay, Christ used that analogy, 30-fold, 60-fold. This was a miracle. In a year of famine, he reaps 100-fold. God was obviously blessing him as he was surrounded by the Philistines. His wealth becomes so great that he is forced to leave and to settle farther away. The Philistines made him leave. They were envious of him. Isaac and his servants commence to dig well after well, always being challenged by the locals when a well is completed. Imagine that. In the middle of a desert, the wadis there, the valleys between the high places, they're digging wells. And every well they make, as soon as it's done, it's claimed by the local herdmen. He always yields the gains they have worked so hard for. He sees the contention, and he lets them have the well. You really see Abraham's influence upon his son here. As Abraham yielded to the lesser lot, so Isaac, he allows this labor, he just lets it go. It's fine. I trust God. God will take care of it. Time after time, Isaac gives the loss to God until finally they dig a well that they're able to keep. The king, all right, and they call that well room. There's room enough for us here. Then the king of the Philistines shows back up, and this is great. He asks Isaac to make a one-sided treaty with him, okay? There's no security for Isaac. There's no benefit for Isaac. He says, listen, we see how much God has blessed you, and God is blessing you, and how great you are. Just be at peace with us. But there's nothing in it for Isaac. Only for the Philistines. The Philistines desire peace with Isaac because they realize that God is with him and has blessed him. And Isaac, he gained nothing by this treaty. But man, he was shining bright. His light was bright. They knew that God was with this man. And lastly, part of Isaac's devotion, he was devoted to his children. All right? To his children and blessing them. And seeking to bless them. What a godly man to seek to bless his children. Although God had to fine-tune this area of his character. All right? Now let's look at his dilemma in chapter 27. And we're going to read a little bit of this chapter. Just in case anybody has never heard of this chapter. This is a great chapter. This is one of those chapters where it makes you kind of scratch your head. But the Bible is a wonderful book, okay? If you ever needed a reason to believe that the Bible's true, that the Bible faithfully records not only the great feats and the great qualities of the men in the Bible, but it also records their failures, all right? And where they fail. We think of David, we think of even Abraham, Jacob even, and also Isaac. There's no exception there. So in Genesis 27, Isaac is old. He's blind at this time. He cannot see. He desires for his son Esau to go and get him some venison because he wants to bless Esau before he dies. Okay? And verse 4, we'll just pick it up here, and he says, "Make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." All right? And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death." By the way, Isaac will live for many, many years. He was nowhere close to death. "Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice," this is Rebekah, "according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth, and thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may bless, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and I will seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, "Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me them." And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" Jacob, Isaac cannot see here. And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." He's quick to think of that lie. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, this is Isaac, he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, this is Jacob, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father, Isaac, said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee," here's the blessing, "therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be that he that blesseth thee." Stop right there. We'll continue in just a bit. Now, I want you to turn to Genesis 25:28. Why was this such a big deal? Look at verse 28 in chapter 25. Look what it says about Isaac's love for Esau. It says, after the boys grew, Esau became a cunning hunter. Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau. It's comparing the father and the mother, okay? Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. Why did Isaac love Esau? Because he did eat of his venison. The Bible says Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. It wasn't just his venison that he loved, though. His wife could make goat meat to match Esau's venison. There was something that Isaac loved about Esau's lifestyle that caused him to be partial towards his eldest twin son. I believe this affection for Esau was based upon what Isaac couldn't enjoy. The least of what Isaac could enjoy was the fruit of Esau's life. Isaac here is blind. He sees this lifestyle that Esau has, his carefree lifestyle, his adventurous lifestyle. We know that Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of food. Isaac would sell the blessing for a piece of meat. Isaac would give the blessing to his elder son, who didn't even want to be the head of the home. He didn't want to be the mouthpiece of God for the next generation. He had no desire for the things of God. We're focusing on Isaac here, okay? Isaac broke the principle of the first commandment. He allowed his love and pleasure for his physical appetite to come before his love and obedience to God's revealed will. God had already revealed to both parents that the elder would serve the younger. He had already revealed God's plan for both children. Isaac and Rebekah both showed partiality toward their boys, which ultimately hurt the whole family. Partiality causes you to treat people based upon how they make you feel, instead of treating them based upon what is right in the eyes of God. Yourself is in control when you are partial towards people. Being partial does not mean you treat everyone the same. Being impartial means you seek to love God with all your heart, and you seek to love others better than you love yourself. Ask yourself, how can I show my love to this person for their good and for their benefit, not my own? How can I show my love to this person for God's glory and for His pleasure alone, for God's pleasure alone? Through partiality, Isaac actually tried to give the blessing to Esau, the covenantal blessing given to him from Abraham. He tried to give it to Esau, a man who didn't even care about it. Esau wanted it, but he didn't care about God. God had already declared the elder shall serve the younger. It was clear. He tried to give it to Esau even after Esau despised his birthright. Yes, Jacob was conniving. He was wrong. But Esau, he judged and he said, you know, the birthright? Oh, man, I'm really hungry. He sold it. Jacob made him swear. Swear to me. It was so important to Jacob. He would get it however he could. Isaac actually tried to give this blessing, even after seeing Esau's disdain for spiritual things, his profane living, being unequally yoked together with unbelieving women, which went directly against what Isaac and Rebekah had taught their sons. It went directly against the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Abraham, at great cost, saw a wife for his son from his own kin. What Esau did was a slap in the face to Abraham and Isaac. And Esau, in his blindness, his spiritual blindness, was still willing to give him the blessing. Isaac's partiality, probably, think about this. Why was Isaac partial? Perhaps it was some sort of unsatisfied spirit towards God for his own life instead of a yielded, content spirit that trusted God with the way things were. What a good lesson for us. Can you imagine what would have happened if Esau had received the blessing that God meant for Jacob? Esau was totally void of any spiritual temperature. He only cared for his own desires, his own will. He cared nothing for God and what God wanted. The blessing upon Esau would have been the ruin of the family altogether. And that was Isaac's dilemma, his partiality, his spiritual blindness, his failure in this one area. Now, lastly, let's look at his deliverance, how God delivered Isaac, and why this faith. Listen, by faith, Isaac blessed his sons of things to come. Why should we emulate this? Why is this something for us to want to add to our faith? Isaac pronounces a blessing upon Jacob that he meant for Esau, but God meant for Jacob. Jacob had perpetrated a fraud with the help and command of his mother, who betrayed her husband. It was awful. It was an awful situation in this family. This deception and sin of Jacob upon his father and brother was a very grievous sin, one that would bear fruit that would affect Jacob for a very long time to come. And this exposed flaws in Jacob's character that God would have to correct. But with Isaac, we see God's providence. His providence in overruling Isaac's decision. What a great example of how God works through bad situations and through sinful men to accomplish his will. This is how God works. Isaac, he trembled very exceedingly. Look at our text, chapter 27. Says, when Esau heard, verse 33, chapter 27, verse 33, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him? We see Isaac trembling exceedingly. He sees his error. This was Isaac's moment of reckoning, finally, a little clarity, when he realizes what Jacob has done. But he understands that this God has oversaw this whole thing. God has oversaw this whole thing. And God, in his providence, has allowed Jacob to be blessed instead of Esau. He trembled exceedingly. In an instant, you see Isaac almost repenting, changing his mind. He realizes he must be honest with Esau. He must be honest with himself. He doesn't try to gloss it over. Listen, the father could have even annulled the blessing. Why? Because, he thought it was Esau, but it wasn't. It was Jacob. He doesn't do that, though. He says, I have eaten of all before thou camest and have blessed him. Yea. And he shall be blessed. He doesn't take it back. Isaac, he lets it stand. He says, no, this is what God wanted. This is God's will. Isaac could have nullified his blessing. He was deceived after all. But it was Isaac's response, the realization. Isaac repented when he realized that God had overridden. God had already made sure that Jacob received the blessing. Now, Jacob was still going to suffer a lot for that sin. But Jacob was the one that truly desired God, that wanted the things of God, even though he had some character training to do. And Laban would take care of that. But our text in Hebrews says, by faith, Isaac blessed both of his sons concerning things to come. The blessings were spoken by faith. Commendable faith, faith that is to be emulated. God worked it all out. God delivered Isaac from his own spiritual blindness. At the same time, he dealt with Jacob and he deals with Esau all at once. He would use all three to teach the world countless messages of faith and life. Both the lives of these men were very fruitful and blessed. You see the prophetic elements of these blessings by Isaac in the latter history of these men. Israel would come out of Jacob. Edom would come out of Esau. The Israelites under David would subject the Edomites to tribute. They would later rebel against Israel. And finally, after the captivity, they would be absorbed by the Jews. How great a God we serve. How deep and beyond our understanding are his ways. We only need to keep our eyes upon him and serve him. He knows and he can be trusted. He knows. He can increase little faith. He can strengthen great faith. He can correct a wayward son. He can heal a broken family. How is your faith concerning things to come? How is your faith? Is it like Isaac's? Let's close there. Now, God, listen, if you're here tonight and you're unconverted, you're not saved, just like, listen, Isaac's faith, he blessed his sons concerning things to come. And he believed in those things. He recognized that they were from God. And everything that Isaac blessed, everything that he said came to pass. One day God is going to come and he is going to judge us according to his word. He's going to judge us according to his Ten Commandments. And there's a truth. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We have all broken those commands. We are all guilty. And when God comes, he will find you guilty. You need something. You need someone who can take your place. You need someone who has fulfilled the law. And that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He suffered on the cross. He died and was buried and arose again after 3 days. He defeated death. He defeated sin. He fulfilled the law. He defeated our enemy, the devil. And right now, he ever lives to make intercession for us. He is a faithful creator. He's alive. And you can trust him. You can trust that what this Bible says will come to pass. It will. Just like Isaac did. You can write it down as a promise. God wants to save you. God desires that you come to him. God said it in Isaiah. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You just need to be obedient and willing. He told the prophet in the Old Testament, he said, God is not will. He said it doesn't please God to cast sinners into hell. What pleases God is that sinners repent and turn unto him. That's what pleases God. Turn, repent. Repent and believe that what God has said will come to pass. It will. That's what faith is. That's what you put your faith in. It is the Word of God. It's God's promises. And God will save you. All right?